So this morning, I'm hoping to lead us through a time of reflection and looking forward. I've entitled it Ripples and Reflections, and I hope there'll be a chance just to think back over some of the events of the past year, but also to look forward as well as to what God might be wanting to do with us, with you, and here as a church in 2025. Just going to read out a short poem that I found. I've got a number of poems that I'm going to read out this morning, and I hope some will speak to you. Instead of making a New Year's resolution, consider committing a biblical solution. Your promises are easily broken, empty words, though earnestly spoken. But God's word transforms the soul by His Holy Spirit making you whole. As you spend time alone with Him, He will change you from within. And that's hopefully what I'm looking to bring this morning, just a message of God's change this year ahead, having a chance just to reflect on what He's done in our lives in 2024, but a chance to look forward as well to what is in store for us. And to do that, I'm going to take us through Psalm 103, and that's going to be my text throughout this morning. And I'm just going to read the psalm now, and then we're going to sort of dip in and out of it throughout the morning. So Psalm 103, a psalm of David. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbour His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works, everywhere in His dominion. So Psalm of David, and that first verse says, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. When we think of David's life, we think of the ups and the downs that he went through, the good times, the peaks of success, the time when he defeated Goliath, the time when he was chosen to be king of Israel. Then the hard times, the times when he was afraid, the times when King Saul hunted him and wanted him dead, the times when he had committed adultery, when he murdered an innocent man, the times when he prayed for healing for his son and God didn't grant that request, the time when his son Absalom tried to kill him. And yet through all of these different ups and downs, highs and lows, David praised the Lord. And Hebrews 13 verse 15 reminds us, therefore, By him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So praise sometimes comes more easily to us than at other times. Sometimes it's easy to praise God when times are good and life's easy. Sometimes it's harder to praise God when things aren't so great, when loved ones are sick or ill, when we've had difficulties at work. But Hebrews asks us, tells us, to praise God, even if sometimes it's a sacrifice, even if sometimes that takes an effort on our part, because actually we don't really feel like it. So let's go back to our Psalm 103, verse 2. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And in this psalm, David will now list a number of benefits, a number of ways that God has been with him and helped him. And he's listed them in the psalm. And I'm just going to spend a few moments thinking about each of those aspects of how God has been with David and blessed him. And he lists them in verses 3-5. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And here David lists a number of things where God has blessed him and been with him. The first thing he lists is that God forgives all your sins. And we know that's true in our own lives, that where we've fallen short of God's standards, where we've done things that were against his will, were against his nature, when we've come to him and asked for forgiveness, he's taken that sin away from us. He's forgiven us. He paid that price on that cross. That debt that was owed has been done away with. Once we've come to God and asked for that forgiveness, we know that that sin has been removed from us. And this psalm later on talks about how that sin is taken away as far as the east is from the west. And that's quite a distance. That's not just a small amount. That's a massive amount. That's as wide as the earth itself. And that's the promise to us, that our sin is taken away as far as the east is from the west. God remembers it no more. And David recognises that in this psalm, that God is a God who forgives us. Sometimes we struggle to forgive ourselves and we think, oh, surely God can't have forgiven me for that. And we sort of beat ourselves up over something that we've done wrong. And we almost struggle to let go of things. But actually the psalmist reminds us that God has forgiven us and he's taken that sin away from us as far as from the east is from the west. By trying to take it back, we almost undo the work of the cross and almost say, the cross wasn't enough. Well, actually, the cross was enough. That sin is forgiven. It's taken away. And David reminds us of that benefit in this psalm. He also reminds us that God is the God who brings healing to us. How often are we sick and we forget to come to the Lord and say, Lord, bring healing to me. I need a touch of your healing, a touch of your healing hand. Throughout Scripture, God reminds us that he is the Lord who brings healing. Exodus 15, verse 26. I am the Lord that heals you. Sometimes that can be a challenge to our faith. Sometimes it's a risk to step out and to offer to pray for healing for somebody. Sometimes we think maybe God's not going to answer that prayer. And sometimes that answer comes in a way that we don't expect or don't fully understand. But I believe that we are asked to pray for people, to look to God to intervene in their lives and to bring healing to them. Certainly that's the model that Jesus showed when he was on the earth. Not only did he have a massive, quite amazing healing ministry himself, where he went out throughout Galilee and brought God's healing to so many people, but when he sent his disciples out, he challenged them to go and to pray for the sick. And I believe that still applies for us today. There's that challenge there to offer to pray for people and to see God's rule and reign break into people's lives through his healing touch. Sometimes God does use other people to bring that healing. I've read a story in Jeff Lucas's book about a lady who was looking for healing. And she eventually came to a Christian doctor. Jeff Lucas writes, "I don't know how she arrived there, but one day she ended up in the clinic of her family doctor. 'We could take care of these cataracts for you, you know,' he gently suggested. Aware that she'd been reluctant to seek medical care, she hesitated. 'I'm a Christian, just like you,' he pressed. 'Do you believe that I have a valid ministry as I help people with their sicknesses?' She reluctantly agreed. 'Then would you consider that God can heal you and use me as an instrument in your recovery?' 24 hours later, the bandages were off and she had perfect vision again." So sometimes God does use those around us, the medical professionals, to bring healing to us. But sometimes he does want to act supernaturally if we're prepared to step out in faith and ask him to bring healing into situations. There's a risk involved in that, in actually saying, "Okay, God, I'm going to step out for you." But I believe that's where he wants us to go as well, to actually see him working in people's lives, not just inside the church, but outside the church. And maybe that's a challenge for the year ahead. Actually, maybe we can be more open to inviting God into situations, not just in our lives, but in the lives of our friends as well, and offering to pray for them when they're sick. Certainly David reminds us of the need that God does want to heal us. And that's a challenge to us, I think, to be more willing to pray for people and to see God come into situations. David reminds us that we were stuck in the pit and God has lifted us out of that pit. For David, that may have been a literal pit. There would have been wild animals and probably enemies around, and they would have dug pits that they would have fallen into and been stuck into. It may be the pit of death itself. And David here reminds us that God lifts us out of that pit. He brings us up into a relationship with him. It may be that you're feeling you're stuck in the pit at the moment, a pit of despair, a pit of hopelessness. God wants to lift you out of that pit. He wants to lift you out of that and bring you back into right relationship with him. But that's one of the things that David says God does for us. He lifts us out of that pit. But more than lift us out of the pit, he then crowns us with love and compassion. It's not like God just sort of lifts us out of the pit and says, "There you go, on your way." He crowns us with love and compassion. He makes us sons and daughters of the King. He gives us that citizenship of heaven. Sometimes we feel like we're insignificant and that, how could God possibly love me? He does love us. And more than that, he's actually made us kings and queens. He's given us citizenship of heaven. And we so easily forget what he's done in our lives and how he's lifted us up, not just out of the pit, but actually he's given us that love and compassion. He wants to do good things for us. His mercies are renewed every morning. How often do we do things in our own strength? How often do we think, "I can do this by myself," and we don't look to God to give us that renewed energy, that renewed life and vitality? When Jesus went up to heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit onto this earth to be with us as our helper, our advocate. The Holy Spirit is here to give us that power, that enabling. But do we choose to actually turn to him and say, "Okay, God, I need your energy. I need your renewed strength and ability for these situations"? He wants us to soar on eagle's wings. He wants us to have that energy and that power of the Holy Spirit. But if we don't give him that authority, if we don't allow him into our lives, then he won't do that. And David reminds us that God has got good things for us. He wants to renew us. He wants to give us that new energy. But if we don't come before him and recognise that and say, "Okay, God, I need a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit," how are we going to know that renewing and that new energy? David reminds us of some of God's benefits in those few verses. The God who forgives us, the God who wants to heal us, the God who wants to give us good things, the God who wants to equip us for what he's got us, the works that he's got for us to do in the future. And I just thought this would be a good moment just to think back over the year that's been and where God's been at work in your lives, the things that he's done for you, through you, those stories that you've had. You'd all have hopefully a piece of paper and a pencil. Just spend a few moments just thinking. If you don't have pen and paper, I'm sure the stewards might be able to assist if anyone's been missed out. Just spend a few moments just thinking, what's God done for you in 2024? Where God's been at work in your life in 2024? Where you've seen him at work? And just as a moment, just as reflection, just to be able to thank him for that.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's take us back to the psalm, verse 6. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. What does that sentence mean? What is righteousness? Well, righteousness is more than just being good. It's about being in a right relationship with God. But it's also an ethical standard, and it's treating others as they are equal. We're all made in the image of God. What is justice? The Hebrew word is mishpat. What does that mean? It means that all people are equal before God and should be treated with fairness and dignity. It's about giving generously to the poor. It's about seeking out the vulnerable, those who are being taken advantage of, and helping them. It's about speaking out for people, advocating for them, for those that don't have a voice. It's being their voice. It's opening your mouth for those who can't speak for themselves. And the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. God is actively wanting that to happen. He's actively wanting to see those who are oppressed and those who are marginalised and those who don't have a voice, to have a voice. And I believe he asks us to join him in that, to actively be involved in helping out those on the margins of society, to help out those who don't have a voice, for whatever reason that might be. And I don't think that's a passive thing. I think that's an active thing. Why do I say that? Well, a famous verse from Micah 6, verse 8. God has told you what is good and what the Lord requires of you. It is to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And that's an action, that's a doing. It is to do justice. It's not just to sit passively and let somebody else get involved in helping those in our community that need support. It's about doing it and being involved, because that's on God's heart. That's what we've just read in Psalm 103, the Lord works righteousness and justice for the oppressed. Are we helping out God in that mission? Are we standing up for the poor and the oppressed? Are we speaking out for those who don't have a voice, for those around us who are struggling financially, struggling emotionally? When we think of loving our neighbour as ourselves, maybe we should think of those overseas, the coffee workers, the tea growers, making sure that they get a fair wage. That's why organisations like Fair Trade have been set up, so that those in other countries are actually able to get a fair wage for their products. I believe that is helping out our neighbour. It's not just those people that we see, but those around the wider world as well. I think that's something that's on God's heart, is to see those who are the poor and the marginalised lifted up, and actually to help them out and to support them where we can. Are we joining God in his work for justice, to seek to support those on the margins, or are we just watching? Maybe that's a challenge in the year ahead. Are you involved in helping out those in your community that need that support and that love? Or are you happy to be passive and let others do that. Because Micah 6 verse 8 implores us, it is, what does the Lord require of you? It is to do justice, not just to watch, but to do. There's an action there, and there's something on us to respond. Verse 7, he made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. What about the year ahead? Has God made his ways known to you? What is he asking you to do in 2025? And I'm going to read a few words now from Psalm 37, verses 4 through to 7. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to him. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And I'd just like us to take a moment just to wait on the Lord and just say, what's he asking you to do in 2025? What's he nudging you to do? What maybe did you think he was saying to you in 2024 that you put to the back of your mind and you forgot about and it's come back again and you're thinking, I know that thought. Maybe God's nudging you because actually that's what he wants you to do. Maybe he's asking you to pick something up, a gift or a ministry, something that you've let drift. The gift of healing, I've mentioned healing already this morning. Maybe God's calling you to pray for healing more or to use another gift, the gift of discernment, so often overlooked and yet so important in trying to discern what God is doing in a situation, what he's doing in people's lives. A riskier question, but maybe he's asking you to lay something down. And that can be hard if we've done a project for years or we've been involved in something. But things have times and seasons. Sometimes God asks us to lay things down, just as he asks us to pick things up. Where will God take you this year? As we commit this year to him, commit our ways to him, as we wait patiently for him. He made his ways known to Moses. Let's just listen for a moment and see if he's nudging us, nudging you, nudging me into something for 2025. On that piece of paper, maybe turn it over, and on the other side, just write 2025. And just maybe think, if God's saying something to you for the year ahead, just write it down. Maybe he's calling you to do something, asking you to pick something up, asking you to exercise a gifting or a ministry that you've left, let go of, forgotten about. Maybe he's asking you to pick that up again. Just going to spend a few moments, a bit of space just to think that through and write that down if you want to. With new opportunities to explore, doors will open for new experiences, new adventures with the Lord. Remember not the former things, the things of this past year. The Lord will do new things in us, much more than we are aware. For he will make a way for us, and we put our trust in him, and he will guide our every step by his presence we have within. I'm going to skip now to verse 14 through to 16. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. And I just wanted to spend a few moments now just thinking back this year over those that we've had in our lives and that are there no more. I've experienced that myself this week. A story that doesn't show me in a particularly good light, but I'll share it anyways. I think it just feels right.
So my wife's parents live in Spain, and they had a very happy retirement over there. They've enjoyed living in Spain, but recently my wife's dad's health has got slightly worse. In October, November time, my wife was determined, absolutely determined, that we were going to go to Spain for Christmas. Now, I don't mind travelling. Spain isn't my favourite country in the world ever. And it's quite expensive at this time of year. And quite honestly, I'd rather have Christmas at home in the UK without the hassle of going on EasyJet and going to Gatwick Airport. So I was quite adamant, we are not going to Spain for Christmas with your parents because I'd rather be here in England. And my wife, bless her, said, well, I really think we should go this year. No, dear, we're not going. No, I really think we need to go to Spain this year. Okay, it's a lot of money, a lot of time, and quite a lot of hassle. I really think we should be going to Spain this year to see my dad. Okay, fine. And I was not overly impressed with this decision. Quite frankly, I was grumpy and moody and threw my toys out of the pram in spectacular fashion several times. But my wife was adamant we were going to Spain this Christmas. And so she booked the tickets, she booked the hire car, she booked the villa, and we were going, much to my annoyance. The Friday before Christmas, we found out that her dad had been taken to hospital and was quite seriously ill. And at that point, I'm thinking, ah, right, maybe we're going to Spain for a reason now. And over Christmas, my wife was able to be with her dad, and she saw him in hospital every day that we were there for. He wasn't in great health. His mind had drifted, but she was able to be with him and spend time with him. Now, for me, I was left looking after the kids, which was fine, but it wasn't a holiday for me. But then that, I guess, wasn't the point, really, because she needed to see her dad. And we came home from Spain, and it looked like her dad had settled, and he would be in a care home, and that would be okay. And that was a Thursday night. On the Friday, as we were travelling back to the UK, she got a message from her mum saying that he'd taken a turn for the worst and was staying in hospital a bit longer. And then we found out on Sunday that he passed away. And the funeral's next week. Now, I share that story because if that had been down to me, we would never have gone to Spain. I just had no interest in doing that. But for my wife, she knew that she had to be there. She knew she had to see her dad at Christmas, and she went. And I just think that was something of the Holy Spirit in her nudging her to go, because she just knew she had to see her dad. And I just share that story now, just to say, well, if there's anyone in your life that you need to go and see, anybody that you need to put something right with, to follow those nudges, because we don't know when people will get taken home. We don't know when they're going to go to heaven. We believe, yes, that there's life after this life. I believe that her dad is in heaven now with the Lord himself. But he's not here on this earth. Yeah, and my fingers were very much in my ears that I wasn't going to Spain, but my wife listened to those nudges. So if God's nudging you to go and see somebody or do something, best to listen to those nudges, especially if it's a loved one and you think, oh, put it off. Well, don't put it off for too long. So we've thought quite a lot this morning about the year that's gone. If God's spoken to you about something that you need to put right, that you need to say sorry for, don't miss that opportunity. Spoken a bit about healing and a chance just to make sure we pray for each other, to invite God into our situations. Thought a bit about justice and actually not just being passive, but active in actually working with God to bring justice to those on the margins of society, those who are in need of support. And then look into the future. What is God asking you to do this year? What is he nudging you to do? Let's try not to stick our fingers in our ears, but actually listen to him and respond. Lord, we thank you for the year that's been. We thank you for the year that is to come. We pray that you would guide us and nudge us, and that we would hear your voice in 2025, that we wouldn't just stick our fingers in our ears, Lord, but that we would hear your voice and respond to it, that we would walk with you throughout the year ahead, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.